Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Sunday, the seventh day of the month of Cheshvan. I hope that each of you had a meaningful, restful, and enjoyable Shabbos. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Today, the seventh day of Cheshvan, is the yahrzeit of Rabbi Meir Shapiro, who is the founder of the Daf Yomi, the methodology and system of learning one double-sided page of Gemara, of Talmud, a day, culminating in the completion of the Talmud every 7.5 years. When proposed years ago and eventually commencing on September 11, 1923, the idea was so radical that it was initially met with much resistance. Today, the Daf Yomi has become the norm, the standard, and is studied by thousands around the world. Beyond all of the resources available online, the concept that a Jew can travel anywhere in the world, walk into a shul or a Beit Midrash, and he or she will find a Daf Yomi shir, a class there in that city, studying the exact same page that he or she is studying back at home. It was a revolutionary idea in its early days and is now truly the bedrock in our community's Torah learning. Today also marks the day in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel, where the recitation of the same Talmud Baracha, the prayer in which we ask Hashem to please make it rain, is inserted into the daily Shemoneh Esrei recited 3 times a day. In Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, we begin this on December 4th, but in Israel it began last night. The old joke is told of the Yeki, of whose club I am a proud member, who tells his wife as he walks out of his house on his way to shul to daven Maariv that he will be home a bit late, as that evening they begin to recite St. Talmud or Bracha in shul. Why do I share all of this? Not the joke, that I just find humorous, but because I believe that there is a beautiful connection between the yahrzeit of Rabbi Meir Shapiro happening on the same day on which this special tefillah is added in Israel. Perhaps more than anyone else in modern times, and maybe ever in our history, has there been an individual who has made such a deep and everlasting impact and contribution on Torah learning worldwide. The Torah is often compared to water, and it is Rabbi Shapiro's movement which created a gushing spring of white water rapids of Torah learning, and it is therefore so fitting that in Eretz Yisrael, the internal homeland of the Jewish people, that this is the day, today, which we ask the Almighty for rain, which, like the Torah, enriches our lives, uplifts us, and enables us to grow. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce my dear friend, Rabbi Yaakov Gibber, Mora d'Asura of the Boca Jewish Center in Boca Raton, Florida, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Gibber slowly reciting our daily 3 chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishabirach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Gibber to learn more about his wonderful community here in Boca Raton. In addition to being mindful of all those whom we are davening, whom we are praying for, please include in your tefillot, in your prayers, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs as well. His Hebrew name is Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba. That is Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Dechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Gibber.
Thank you very much to my very dear friend, Rabbi Naftali Herman, and thank you to the officers of the Orthodox Union and to the many, many sponsors for putting this unbelievable program together. And thank you to all of you for coming together on a Sunday from literally around the world for today's call and for every day's call of inspiration, of chizuk, of Tehillim recited together. Yiratzon, may it be the will of the Ribono Shel Olam, the Master of the Universe, that in the merit of us coming together in such a profound and ongoing way, we should all be zocha, v'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim, for our eyes to behold your merciful return to Zion, with Yeshua's Hashem keheref ayin. Clearly, thoughtful optimism breeds success. If you take a room full of CEOs, millionaires, and others who have reached the pinnacle of their goals, and you'll almost certainly find a room full of people who are, by their nature, optimistic and positive. There are plenty of explanations for why this is in fact true. Some people claim that it's because positive-minded people are cheerful and they're fun to be around and are therefore chosen over negative people when it comes time to win the contract, to make the sale, to close the deal. That it's a fundamental law of the universe, often referred to as the law of attraction. While not discounting this idea, the Torah seems to support another theory. And yet, while it offers no mathematical formula that proves it, anecdotal evidence abounds. Torah teachings stress optimism and positive thinking as keys to attracting success and positive outcomes in actually all areas of life. When positive thoughts are combined with action, with good deeds, with resulting doing of things, the result is the actualization of goals and the realization of hopes and dreams. The idea that positive thinking results in positive outcomes can be traced back to the story of Noach and the flood in the parsha that we just read this past Shabbos. We know that the Torah generally calls kosher animals tahor, pure, and non-kosher animals tameh, which means impure, a word that also brings with it a connotation of unholiness or immorality. However, in the famous story of Noach and the flood, where a sample of all animals entered into Noach's teva, into his ark, to take refuge from the massive floodwaters, the Torah says, Mikol ha-behema ha-tahara tikach lecha, o min ha-behema asher lo tahara, from all tahor animals, and from the animals which are not tahor. In this case, the Torah desists from using the word tame, which has more negative implication, and instead refers to the tame animals as not tahor. The Torah does this even though it is generally exceedingly careful not to use additional words, in this case, three extra words, unless it wants the reader or the student to learn something from these words. The Gemara Maseches Pesachim Daf Gimel Amud Aleph explains that the reason for the reluctance to use the word tame in this story is to teach us not to use words in the negative construction, even if it means using additional words in a sentence. Simply stated, the Torah is trying to teach us to speak in the positive rather than in the negative. The Talmud commentators note that when the Torah discusses laws and clarity is an absolute priority, it uses the word tame many, many times. However, when it is relating stories, it uses additional words to say things in the positive. This is because words have power. And when we say something negative, we are attracting that same negative thing towards ourselves. The Torah here teaches us to use words that do not have negative connotations so that they do not bring negativity into our lives. Since a person's words come from their thoughts, from the machshava, the mind is the shoresh, is the source of our positive or negative language. The power of positive thinking, and by extension, positive speech, has been reiterated by the great Jewish mystics over time. The best example of the suggested use of the power of positive thinking taught by Torah sages, however, comes from the great Kabbalist and Hasidic master known as the Tzedek. Once asked to pray on behalf of a seriously ill person, he responded, telling the family to practice positive thinking. He advised, when he said in Yiddish, Tracht gut vein, sein gut, meaning that if you think good, it will be good. Many people assume that this is some sort of wishful thinking, but consider for a moment whether you have ever heard someone who is very successful in their line of work speak pessimistically. Think, too, about the person you know who always complains that things aren't going right. Almost always, you'll find that successful people don't focus on the negative, while unsuccessful people often do. This is true with what we think, this is true with what we say, and it's true also with what we do and how we live each day of our lives. It is said about Rav Shmuel Salant that every day, when he would daven Shmoneh Esrei, just prior to reciting the bracha of Eset Tzemach David, which asks for the arrival, the coming of Mashiach, he would pause for just a moment, and he would look to the right, and then he would look to the left, and only then he would continue his davening, he would continue in his prayer. His talmidim, his students, finally one day asked him why he does such an odd thing when he davens, especially in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, where unbroken kavana is of paramount and significant importance. He answered that he knows with a full, a positive, optimistic, and believing heart that Mashiach is coming. Not sometime down the road in a far-off distant future, but that he, Mashiach, is coming today. And he doesn't want to make an unnecessary blessing. He doesn't want to make a bracha levatala, so he pauses to see if Mashiach is coming right before he makes the bracha. And when he sees that he's not there, he makes the bracha, and he hopes that as the day continues, he's going to hear the good news of Mashiach's arrival. That's positive thinking. That's living with hope and optimism. That's believing that a new day filled with endless bracha and opportunity is destined to dawn for us, for our families, for Klal Yisrael, and for all of humanity. Kein yihi ratzon v'nomar amen. We continue with three chapters of Tehillim, beginning with Kapitel, with chapter Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor le David. Adonai roi lo yechzar. Hino esteshe yarbitzeini al mei menuchos hina haleini. Nafshi yeshoyvev yancheini v'maglei tzedek l'ma'am nishimo. Gam ki eilech b'gei tzal mobes. Lo ira ra ki ato imodi. Shiftecha umishanetecha hei moyinachamuni. Ta'aroich lefonai shulchan, neged tzoyveroi, yishanetav Hashem en roshi kosi rivoya. Achtoiv vochesed yudafuni, kol yemei chayoi, vishavti b'veis Adonai, le'oirech yomim. Kapitel Kuf Chof Aleph, chapter 121. Shilama alois, eso einai el heholim, me'ayin yovo yezri. Ezri me'im adonai, oisei shomayim vo'oretz. Al yitein lamoit raglecho, al yonum shoymrecho. Hinei lo yonum, v'lo yishon shoymer Yisrael. Adonai Shemrecha, Adonai Tzilcha, Al Yad Yeminecha. Yoimam HaShemesh lo yakeka v'yodeyach balayla. Adonai Yishmorcha mikol ra, Yishmor es nafshecha. Adonai Yishmor tzeislecha uvayecha me'ata v'yad olam. Kapitel Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir ha-ma'alois mima'amakim k'ratzicho Adonai. Adonai shima v'koili tihiyanoz necho kashuvois l'kol tachanunai. Im avernois tishmayo Adonai mi ya'amoid. Ki imcho haslicho od ma'anez hivorei. Ki visi Adonai ki viso nafashi. Velidvaro hocholti. Nafshi ladunoi mishoimrim laboiker, shoimrim laboiker. Yachel Yisrael el adunoi, ki im adunoi hachesed viharbei imo fidus. Vehu yifte es Yisrael mikol avonoi tov. Mishaberach lacholim. Mishaberach avosenu Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov Moshe Aaron Dovri Shlomo Yivarech v'yirapes acholim. Achenu kol beis Yisrael hanesunim batzaro v'shivya ha'agdim bein bayam uvein bayamosha ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotzi'en mitzaro v'yivracha u'myafeila le'oira u'myshibud l'gi'ula hashta ba'agala v'zman kuriv v'nomar omein.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Gibber. As we transition into the next segment of our call, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank you so much, Rabbi Herman, for the opportunity to be with you. Baruch Hashem, we are remaining positive and looking for the opportunities of growth. Family is, Baruch Hashem, doing well. We're thankful for the family time that we've had together over these many months and continue to feel blessed for the continued progress moving forward. But Baruch Hashem, using this lesson of remaining positive as the guiding principle that really gives us opportunity and perspective in any and in every way.
So true, and a true hallmark very much of who you are as a person, always very, very positive and optimistic. So, and that's actually a great segue for us, because the last time we had you on the call, before we had introduced the segment here of having the interview to find out more, to learn about you and your community. So you live in Boca, I live in Boca. We live in separate communities, but it doesn't stop us from having a wonderful relationship and from getting together from time to time. But for our many listeners out there who may not be as familiar with your shul, with your community, and that's been a wonderful opportunity we've had on these calls the last few months, is really to learn about so many shuls and communities throughout North America. If we could take this time, if you can, to really share with us about your shul, about the community overall, what makes it so special and unique, and if you could give us some of that information, that'd be great.
Thank you so much. So first of all, one of the, I would say, greatest parts of the Boca Raton Jewish community is, as you said, we are really one, a unified, loving community where we focus on what brings us together and what unites us, the commonalities. The Rabbanim work very, very closely together. The community members and the memberships in the different communities tend to daven in each other's shuls and share programming. And it's been extraordinary and so special for me and for my family and for just the community to be able to be part of a thriving, a growing, a brimming with just Torah learning and chesed and just growth in every possible way, just from a, you know, larger kind of concept. But the Boca Jewish Center community is one that I'm so proud to lead and to be part of. We had humble beginnings where we came to this community in 2008 with just under 30 families, and now we're a community that's pushing 180 families, Baruch Hashem, with explosive growth. And one of the ways I describe our shul to so many, our community, is, you know, I love so much davening at the Kotel. A, because of the spirituality, the ruchnius, the one feels davening in such a holy place. But also because of where it brings so many different types of people together. It brings those of all different types of orientations. You have those that are, you know, aspiring to be more religious, those who come from more religious, formal backgrounds of Jewish education, and all and everything between, far and beyond and wide. And our shul really has that kaleidoscope, that colorful, welcoming, engaging, a place for everybody where you could really come together as a community and uniquely unite together with people you might not otherwise have found yourself in a similar community with. And I love more than anything seeing people who would never have met each other had they not come to our community, come to our shul. And that's been part of our growth. People love that, to be able to share their own historical kind of upbringing and their philosophy and theology, of course, but to also do so in a way that's open and welcoming and sensitive and empathetic and joining with other people, which is really what we're trying to and striving for as humanity and certainly as Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. But in our Boca Raton community and certainly as our Boca Jewish Center community continues to expand and explode with tremendous, tremendous growth, that's, you know, with multiple portals of entry of how you can engage the Ribbono Shel Olam through learning and through davening and through just community activism. More than anything else, it's the kaleidoscope of color and unity and welcome and being united in such an extraordinary way that has really been the hallmark of our community in particular, that I'm so proud to be part of, to lead, and to live with.
Unbelievable. And not only all the aspects of growth you covered, but the shul physically has grown recently beyond, and probably to accommodate so many additional families and individuals who have moved into the community. But the space has really grown over the last few months, over the past year, which has really seen it go to a new level. But also the reason why I mentioned the connection, why it was such a good segue in speaking about the hallmark in terms of view of growth, is that anyone who walks into the Boca Jewish Center prior to COVID-19, but they certainly embraced with a smile, probably with a hug before COVID-19, but it really speaks to the incredible degree of warmth and affection that exists at the Boca Jewish Center. A question, Rabbi Gibber, that we've asked daily on this call, and I shared it with you prior to the call to think about the process, but you know, with the world changing so much dramatically over the last 7 months now, going into 8 months soon, and we continue to see change. We've seen innovation, and we've seen going from shutting down to reopening, and even ad hayom hazeh, until this point, as much as our shuls are back to flourishing in certain ways, we're still missing so many people. The youth in many ways and many shuls are missing, the older population, and it's challenging. But when we think about our community, you think about your shul community, what communal changes do you anticipate for the time being, for now, while we're in the thick of things, and we hope for those things to end soon, but also if we can daydream and to think about perhaps even a post-COVID-19 world, what communal changes do you anticipate for your shul?
That's really an amazing question. It's something that Rabbanim, you know, leaders, and really everyone is really contemplating, like, deeply and very meaningfully every single day, because, you know, as you mentioned, we have been blessed with our physical space to expand, and the timing, Bashkacha Pratis, has been really fabulous, and we're very thankful for that. It's really accommodated physically the space just to spread out, as all of the shuls really have, and to accommodate multiple minyanim and a larger membership and a growing population, all of that. But, you know, you hit it right on the head. You know, we prided ourselves on not only the welcoming, but the warmth, and we want everybody to feel that when they arrive at the Boca Jewish Center, they've arrived at a place that they can feel comfortable, a place that they can call their spiritual home, where they can find friendships and opportunities in a way that they maybe not have anticipated previously or experienced previously. So, you know, that's been an enormous challenge for all of us, really, every shul, every denomination, and every community, to really kind of maintain that after having lost that. We went into bidud, went to isolation, went to quarantine, and just, you're right, vacillating back and forth, opening, closing, one version, another version. These are, you know, constant, ongoing conversations. But here's what I would say is that, you know, there's been such an enormous amount of creativity that has emerged, you know, in the post, you know, COVID-19 world, where, you know, there's been innovation and there's been, you know, needing to think outside the box. How are we going to connect to people? How do community members connect to each other? You know, there's no secret about just the online learning and the connection that we've had with people, and so many rabbanim who are able to go even beyond their own borders, that are just their own kind of singular shuls, and really be able to share learning and portals like this one that really provides Torah opportunities for so many abound, which is extraordinary. And that's certainly something that's going to be a positive way of connecting and interlocking, program sharing and things of that sort, from top level, from the Orthodox Union and within local, you know, boundaries, whether it's, you know, our shuls that are sharing programming together, whether it's learning and tested opportunities. But here's what I think is going to be like the big test and the test of character and the call of the day, really, which is, you know, there's a need to recognize that the status quo as it was can no longer be. You know, everyone talks about getting back to normal, and I call it to get back to the new normal. The new normal is going to be being really serious about the things that matter most. You know, the time spent with your family, but specific to your question about shul is an empathy, there's a sensitivity to others that is, you know, new, has necessary for us to rebound as it relates to just, you know, whether it's an elderly population or, you know, the youth, as you mentioned, or an immunocompromised population, or just people that are just struggling with whatever vicissitudes of challenge find their address because of the, you know, because of the virus that's hit so rampantly and so ferociously in our communities. There's an empathy, there's a sensitivity to others And I think just for nothing else, you know, what I'm hoping, and I think has seen, you know, to bear fruit is just an appreciation for what shul is. You know, when you have something that you've taken for granted, something you've taken for granted for so long, you go Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, you go on Shabbos, you go on the Yom Tovim, and then immediately the rug is like, you know, thrust from under beneath you, and then you like, you've lost it. You've lost that connection and the melodious tunes and the, you know, the getting together for the Kiddush and the opportunity to daven with your chaverim to share special occasions or to be with each other in times of sorrow, to say Misha Berach v'chai leitzag and all, to daven for Eretz Yisrael, to daven for our country or in the United States. We've tended to take that for granted. And now what I'm hoping, and I've seen as the shuls continue to each Shabbos, and we should only hope it should continue this way, to add those tefillahs back and to, with social distancing and masks and precautions and responsibility, that there should be a renewed sense of appreciation for what shul is. Whether it's, you know, being careful and vigilant about talking in shul and giving people respectful space and just knowing how precious, having had it taken away from us, how precious it is and how much we yearn for it, how much we desire it, and the need for us to come together despite the challenges, responsibly, but to do so in a way that's going to, I hope, is going to maintain the thrust of positivity that as we reconstitute ourselves from having, you know, had to deal with this in the way that we have and that we still are. We are still dealing with it in such a way. But I'm hoping that that there's a sense of, in the broader Jewish community and in our community, post-COVID-19 world is going to have a sensitivity to others, an appreciation for learning, the opportunities that exist online learning and otherwise, and be able to have learning from Rabbanim from around the world, and appreciation for what shul means and your commitment and your stamina that you're going to, the gravel and the gut, as you say, to be able to commit to your community in the broader sense, and the need to come together and the need to stay together despite the challenges as we've faced. And I know that if we can do it the way we're committed to doing and stay on course, we'll not only be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, but we will emerge from this pandemic as better people and as a stronger community.
Amen. We certainly hope so. Rabbi Gibber, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us a picture of your wonderful community. As they are with all Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered l'tova for good. May the Rabbonei Sha'olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Monday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Gershon Schaffel of the Young Israel of Skokie in Skokie, Illinois. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.